To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. If you want another one, too bad. It's the only one that you get to have. It's absolutely true. Please don't verify it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huge shot across the bow against Godfrey in that opening minute there.
Yeah, came out right against it. Oh, I mean, there is Split Zone Duo, but we could talk about them later.
Primarily an NFL podcast.
Our rivals are always NFL podcasts. We can always class them up to that.
Okay, that's a good show.
Great show. Let's break. You know, you're just waiting for somebody to say something and they don't. Ah, life. Hey, y'all. We had another week of football. It happened.
Do you know how I know that we are into the swing of something resembling a football season? I woke up this morning after, you know, our full day of working from home covering games, and I walked out into the kitchen, and I'm pretty sure you and I were the only adults here yesterday, and there are four open, not empty, just open bags of Fritos on my counter, and two of them are the same kind of Fritos.
Are you talking like full bag?
Yes, there are like partially eaten bags of Fritos. There are four of them within like a 3 square foot counter space.
Huh.
Well, we ate the scoops, so they're done.
Oh, thank God. You mean like since I found the bags, you have eaten the scoops?
Yeah, we ate the scoops. That happened
at
dinner.
That just leaves the two. So we're down to two open bags of regular Fritos. And one open bag of blue Fritos, which I frankly find alarming in chili because it looks like the chili has gotten some kind of necrotizing disease. Hey, Auburn football.
We should
pass to myself. If only Stetson Bennett could pass to himself.
We should also note two things for you, the audience. Hi, it's Monday and you're listening to this, maybe. I guess they don't control your life. And that's new, or at least new for this season. We're going to two shows a week. We will have more information about the second show not today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not today. We'll bust that on Tuesday.
And Jason is not here because he is he's probably the one who placed that, what was it, $1.4 million bet on the Jags Bengals over.
Oh, yeah, he's headed into the sunset in a cherry red Mustang.
Yeah. So if you're wondering, but he'll be back for the next episode because he'll blow the money betting on other Jags Bengals games.
Going back, what would be the dumbest bet you could have made this past weekend?
On college football?
Yeah, that would have made sense. Not something where you know you would lose in hindsight. Not something where you say...
Not a long shot, like, bolt, like... crazy
no,
thing
one,
to do.
One that would have made
I
sense
did
at the time.
I bet Chris Felica that Tennessee wouldn't beat Missouri, and now I have to wear a t-shirt bragging about their longest active national winning streak.
Auburn scores a touchdown. Felt like it wouldn't have been a crazy thing to say.
How long did they say it had been on the broadcast since that happened? 2 years?
I'm trying to look through the play-by-play real quick here. I don't think they ran a play in the ends and in the red zone.
Can I, before we get into all the other ways we are disappointed in Auburn, can I raise a particular one?
Sure. They did in fact have one possession go into the red zone, but that was in. Please go ahead.
We're letting Spencer decide what week it is this season, so it's week magenta for all we know, but it still feels, thanks to all the delayed schedules, like it is fairly early in the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
We're just settling into this very uneasy swing of things. It is way too early for Auburn to so clearly display that they are in a Fyre Gus year. You know, when you have a whole bunch of shows that you want to watch on Netflix and there is an unending stretch of working from home in front of you in sight, you know, you want to ration things a little bit. You want to save some episodes for later because you don't know how long you're going to be stuck here. Could we not have waited until, I don't know, the 1st of November to decide whether this was a Fyre Gus or Hire Gus year?
No. We couldn't.
Like, come on, man. Like, Auburn, I don't know. I feel like Auburn skipped to the last chapter. Unless the actions of this weekend indicate that this is, in fact, a canonized Gus year in disguise. But I don't know, man.
Every Auburn season is like a choose-your-own. Like, if a season is supposed to be like a novel, Auburn seasons are like a choose-your-own-adventure book that you read incorrectly by going in sequential order of page numbers.
Is that where you're
going? Yes, this is exactly what yeah. happened.
You're like, wow, I've died 9 times, and also I'm married to a space ant. That's weird.
See, you'll be shocked to hear this, but I always did that with Choose Your Own Adventure books. So when I opened the page, and it went from, it said, like, I opened the castle door, you know, turn right. to page 34, and I mess up and turn to page 43 or something, and it's like, you have flown off of the ski. Right? You've flown off of the ledge. Your skis fly off and you impact the ground 2,000 feet below on the floor of the valley.
This is how you live your life, too.
And I was like, because it always made sense to me. I was always like, well, I guess I missed something. Life's crazy, though. That could have happened. You know? Like, you entered the Colosseum. The yeah. blinding sunlight shields you from the sight of ... Turn to page 72 and it'd be like, the You're secretary like, holds a pistol to your head.
This is William Faulkner's best work.
This is incredible, man. I always thought I just didn't get it, and that became the norm.
Was there ever a point in your childhood at which the point of these books was explained to you?
No.
Okay.
You would be astonished how little
no,
I had
wouldn't.
Explained to me.
No, I wouldn't.
It's true.
I like that you approach these books with a certain level of fatalism, where... where you were sort of like, I know it says choose your own adventure, but none of us can control anything.
I think I really always, you know what, that's a scathing, searing, but accurate insight, because I really did always assume that about those books. I always thought, well, no, you just die.
Yeah. Nobody really chooses their own adventure. Anyway, good night, kids.
That's very strange, because I was just thinking about these sound like, when I think back on Choose Your Own Adventure, they sound like they were written by children. As mm-hmm. in, you know, when you're coming up with all the grisly deaths that happen in each book, you know, and then you're staked out on an anthill, Robinson Crusoe style, and the pirates drizzle you with honey as the mm-hmm. fire ants swarm up your legs. And then I remembered the younger hall boy telling his teacher that he didn't think the teacher's recently deceased grandmother was a ghost. She was probably just dead.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, I have a distinct memory of a choose-your-own-adventure book where, I don't know, you fall through some kind of wormhole. Oh, no, you make... There is some kind of evil entity that grants you one wish near the end of a story, and you wish to go home, and mm-hmm. you end up on this, like, ice world called home where you're forced to mine with your bare hands, and, like, the mine supervisor says, you know, if you find water in the ground, you can drink it. If you find worms in the ground, you can eat them. Good luck.
Anyway, Auburn chose
football.
Auburn's adventure was Auburn chose to go to page 107, where Bo Nix throws 40 passes. Whoops.
Yeah, and I will tell you, of those 40, based on the ratio I saw, a good 25 of them meant nothing. No intent, no aim, no ability. That's not his fault.
Tell your doctor if you experience Bo Nix side effects.
Yeah. Can I tell you one other prop bet, by the way, before we just make fun of Auburn for about another
sure.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
One other prop bet from the weekend that I would have taken without the gift of hindsight, I would have put, like, if you said put 10 grand on this, I would have put 10 grand on it. If I told you that Kentucky had 408 yards rushing, would you just go ahead and bet on the outright win?
I would have said they win Ooh. By 3 scores.
Yeah, they lost by 1.
God.
They lost by 1.
Lane Kiffin is just a sexual madman.
If you just
what?
Said...
No!
Yeah, no, it's out there.
Absolutely not.
So there, no, he just said it. It's free
sexual
in the world.
Sexual anarchist Lane Kiffin.
I'm your direct report.
I didn't say you were a sexual anarchist.
No, I just object to the environment.
Oh, that's
fair. In which I'm being forced to work.
That's fair. I think a court would find that you agreed to be on a podcast that would discuss Lane Kiffin, and therefore you waived any.
God, that is. See, this is why you're an attorney.
Yep.
Our attorney.
Oh God.
The world.
Harsel, speaking of which, you should know that all of our conversation that happens here is privileged.
Privileged.
So if you want to plot any crimes, Ryan can totally get us out of that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Noted.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, to start off his Sunday, by the way, retweeted Core Fitness Oxford with a tweet that said, "Our instructors Jennifer Faraday and Lydia killing these new moves on a Friday," showing them working out on what looks like Pilates machines. And I realized that because Lane Kiffin tweeted this with the line, "Best workout ever," 2 exclamation points, not 3, just 2.
Yeah.
I realized that I was like, yeah, and it's 3 ladies working out on Pilates machines. And I realized, oh, he's the only guy in the Pilates class. That's the move.
I think that's kind of sweet.
It's kind of sweet in that he's like, no, I mean this like maybe 15% lasciviously, 85% sincerely. I think Lane Kiffin really does think, man, no, really, like Core Oxford, killing it. This is great.
The pliable Lane Kiffin.
I'm really glad that you said that, Ryan, because take something like the presidential fitness test. We all talk all the time about how, you know, coaches and writers who never played the game, you know, have no business knowing what it's like, what kind of risk these bodies are being put through. But I got to tell you, out of all the physical tests that we could put football people through, the one that I would most like to see all of them try is the sit and reach.
Oh, yeah.
Farts.
I'd farts throw a phantom days. Chair in there, too. Phantom chair is pretty good.
God, it would smell like a hash brown hospice.
Welcome to Undead Waffle House.
All right, so reach, and all the linemen are like, you might not want to sit back there.
Can we get back to making fun of Auburn? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Here is the meanest thing that happened, that Georgia did specifically. The final score of this game is 27-6, and it was an ass-whooping, probably worse than that, I would say.
Way worse.
The halftime score was 24-3, which meant that rather than just sort of like step on the neck, make it like formally out of reach, Georgia was just like, oh, you're so close. Just grab it. Just grab my hand. Oh, I'll pull you up. Don't worry. Oh, just keep running, buddy. Nope. Just sort of let them dangle. Let them think like maybe Auburn Jesus magic will show, but there was no Auburn Jesus magic.
Hey, Georgia might need some Jesus magic after that super spreading in the stadium.
Where 15,000 or more are gathered. There's...
I got a joke.
Go
ahead. You ready?
Yeah,
you ready?
Go ahead.
I've been working on this one. Okay. What's big and white and labored and has labored breathing and is beloved by every person in Georgia's stadium and might not live out the year? Give up?
That's the joke. That's
no,
the joke.
It's Ugga.
That's the better turn you could take with that joke.
I don't understand what you mean, and I won't respond to any further questions about it.
Is it bad,
by the way, that they said 15,000 people, and I looked up and thought, that's 57,000 people.
I thought it they also like... said the upper deck was going to be closed, and there were clearly people up there.
As a reminder, this is the same conference that fines you $250,000 if your fans rush the field.
So they're really good at counting people and at telling them where they are and are not supposed to be.
Mostly I'm disappointed in the SEC because like you have a revenue stream staring you right in the face and you're not gonna like grab some Georgia money.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to conduct any tacky fundraising campaigns or furlough any employees.
And you won't rushing the field or rushing the court, you're not gonna get like that, well, you know, they're ruining the fun of college football. Like you'll just say, it's a health thing, sorry. And boom, free $300,000, whatever you want it to be.
I was thinking masks, so that we could do the SEC mask and give one to Rob Lowe. so we can just improve Rob Lowe's collection of league-oriented masks and hats.
This came up earlier, and it's still bothering me however many months later. Where in the fuck did Rob Lowe get that hat?
Oh, Fox gave it to him. Fox 100% gave it to him.
Just gave him an NFL hat.
Yes. I'm sure Fox was like,
what are those hats for?
I bet you they just like, here's what I'm betting happened. Fox told Rob Lowe, because that was like at a Chargers game or some shit. And they said, Rob, come to the game. We'll put you on the sideline. You have a new show, I think. Like, it'll be good promotion, whatever. And he's like, cool. He shows up. He has nothing even vaguely sportsy on. And they're like, well, now you don't look like you're here to watch football. And they just like had a PA rummage around. And they're like,
I mean, why did that hat exist? For whom did that hat possibly exist?
That's for somebody who would wear a Yum Brands hat instead of a KFC hat. Yeah. Like, it would be dumb to wear.
The second week in a row, we're going to bring up the Burger King credit card.
Or if you wore like a GM hat instead of like the Pontiac hat that you wanted to wear, right? That's how stupid the concept is, right? Like, nobody ever wears a hat of the parent company of the product. Nobody goes, hey, you know what? General Foods, love them. They make Pop-Tarts or whatever.
I'm going to see if the NFL shop has just like
an NFL hat. It's a Rob Lowe.
Here's where I'm going with this. It's the NFL. Do you have any idea how many people have to sign off on every single decision? How many people had to think that this hat, I want a 6-part investigative podcast. How many people had to think this hat was a good and useful tool in order to get it made and into the hands of celebrity spokesmodel Rob Lowe?
Yeah, I think it was just like, we had this from like a Halloween sketch like 8 years ago or something. I think it was just, this is the only thing we can find.
All right, I'm glad that we've settled my mind on this.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. At first I was going to say I can't find anything. But if you go to the NFL shop and you go to shop by team, it's in alpha order. There's Washington football team at the end, and in between Seattle Seahawks and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's a section called Shield merchandise, and it's just NFL logo stuff. That's it.
They call it Shield merchandise.
Shield merchandise. They don't. Hoodies and sweatshirts.
Is it on clearance by any chance? Because I feel like this should be our next giveaway.
Here is a thing you can buy. You can buy
this should
a
be
like
giveaway items for Split Zone Duo. You can buy just called Shutdown Duo. Oh God, yeah, I'm talking over everybody tonight.
No, you're fine. You can buy a hyper-colored tie-dye rainbow snapback hat with an NFL logo on the front of it.
Somebody's got a birthday coming up.
And here it is. Here's a gray NFL logo hat. Regular price $35.99 down to $21.99.
This is like, I'm just going to get you a Bank of America sweater.
There's a throw pillow. Oh my God, Holly. These are $11 and I'm sending you 8 of them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's like rooting for gravity. NFL. Enjoy NFL.
I think the bank was right.
One more thing, by the way. Is it bad that Bo Nix averaged 4.4 yards of completion? God. That he threw 40 times? If I'm going to throw 40 times and I'm going to average 4.4 yards as an average, I better be getting 17 yards a carry from the rushing game, which that was not what happened, because actually I should be averaging 18, but instead Auburn averaged 1.8 yards per carry.
Spencer, who's Auburn's offensive coordinator?
That's Chad Morris. I swear, y'all. I swear he was really good at this at one point.
No, listen, and I am practically on like a Justin Fuente level of getting this hire wrong because I thought this was going to be flames.
Where was Chad Morris last year?
Could Sam Pittman be winning without his players? It's worth asking. Just asking questions here.
I really like where this is going. He's at Arkansas right now. Yeah.
And what was Arkansas doing at the same time that Auburn was getting inside the Georgia red zone once and leaving that game with two field goals?
Oh, Ryan, this is the night the pit man became a pit master.
By the way, this is the best. Okay, big ass, first of all, you should know 20 straight losses in the SEC, over. Done, finito. Okay, how did they do it? They did it by winning a 21-14 game against Mississippi State, who beat the defending national championships just a week earlier and threw
and
for
then put out a hype video about
on
it.
Them.
And then put out a hype video, the premise of which was, hey, it's safe to come root for Mississippi State now. Why don't you do that? Hey, give us your heart, girl. I won't break it.
Whew.
I'm a scorpion.
Come root for us.
Yeah, I need to get to the other side of the river. Maybe you were thinking about opening that scorpion ferry service? You know, the one where they won't sting you. Yeah, guess what?
Sting.
I told you what I was. I said I was Mississippi State.
I'm just a little scorpion in an utterly useless and cosmetic mesh mask.
Yeah, 21-14. That's what they did to snap a 20-game losing streak. Half man, whole hog, Sam Pittman, an actual ham-shaped football coach, perfect for the job. Kind of ham colored too, like
you know
he's running.
You know the body
like
that
a cathedral.
You know the body that Krang walks around in.
That's Sam Pittman
with hair and a shirt.
And do you know
on.
What Krang? Do you know what Krang is? Krang is the hive mind of Hogville, on Sam Pittman's body. The actual powerful.
Would you like? Do you guys know what Krang's android body is named? Do you remember this?
Do you know
Pittman?
The Bubble Walker.
Wow.
Which is pretty close to the Bubble Walker, so we should just go with it.
Yeah, that's the bubble. That's the Bubble Walker.
That's the Bubble Walker.
Yeah, because for so long, remember, this is actually, I'm going to get deep and symbolic here. For so long, the power of Arkansas, which we all know is immense and threatening to other lesser states, has been divided between two different stadiums.
And sometimes their own coaches.
That's right. Between two different stadiums, Fayetteville and Little Rock. Got to play games in both. Otherwise, if you were allowed to concentrate that much Arkansas in one place, whoa, it's just not fair for other teams.
Weirdest Zelda game ever.
It is.
Go find the Arkansas Triforce.
My Arkansas power theory is this, that two things managed to focus the power of Arkansas to the point where they win a conference game. One is that Jerry Jones commissioned an enormous sculpture of bronze hogs raging across the countryside and then made sure that it had special mood lighting at all hours and was surrounded by an enormous fountain. This totem focuses the Arkansas, gets it bubbling, gets it cooking. Second, they hired Sam Pittman, who, like I said, already looks like a big old ham, kind of looks like a big old hog, and was the perfect coach for Arkansas because game-wise, they're gonna fill out the paperwork and do everything right. And you know who won't do that 2 weeks in a row? That's correct. Mississippi State with Mike Leach as head coach. That's just not gonna happen. You're not gonna get the paperwork right 2 weeks in a row. KJ Costello was intercepted 3 times. And goddamn, I'm real happy for Arkansas. So
do you know the name remind me again of when KJ Costello got onto campus?
June?
Something like that.
Mike Leach thought he was heading to a barbecue, but the only charred flesh was his own.
A member of...
Yeah,
that's the dumbest horror movie ever, by the way. When you look down, you're like, I cooked my own hand. Like,
buddy, I survived Tennessee, South Carolina. Don't you tell me a fucking thing about dumb horror movies.
A member of the Moon Crew Discord brought up of their, and I won't say who this person is because maybe this is private information, that they work at the sculpture foundry where the bronze hogs came from. mm-hmm. and the name of the artist who I assume designed and made these is Dick Idol. Like Billy Idol. Oh. I-D-O-L.
Oh, yeah. No, the name is funny, but it's even better.
True. Now it's true.
The name isn't funny. It's deadly serious.
Idol. Dick Idol.
No, but then I extend it and go, oh, that's funny. But then, do you realize what Dick Idol's other gig was besides sculpture?
No.
Dick Idol is actually a trophy hunter god. Like, he is really? Yeah, he's a dude who is so good. Like
he's a lion killer?
No, he is so good at hunting, particularly deer and elk, that Dick Idol is actually, one, he lives in Montana and still guides from time to time. And two, Dick Idol authored the following guide, among other books about hunting, but this one is my favorite when you combine it with his unique moniker. The Best of Dick Idol's Whitetail World, subtitle and topic following after the colon is this. Hunting the Four Periods of the Rut. Dick Idol.
I bet.
Dick Idol.
Just bet.
Yeah, Dick Idol just talking about the rut. Four stages of the rut, girl. Mm. I will take you through all four stages of the rut. Sincerely, Dick Idol. Dick
God, Idol. This sounds like something Dana would have read aloud to women in the Wheeling Casino when he was in Morgantown.
Dick Idol has also designed statues for NC State, a oil company's world headquarters in Houston, the Bass Pro Museum in Springfield, Missouri, and a Cabela's Superstore in Minnesota.
Man, that's...
And a high school in North Carolina. What a wonderful...
Hartzell, please find this high school. He's not here. Let's send Cerber there.
How do you bring that up casually? Like, hey, you know what you guys might want here? Could you use a 30-foot statue of an animal?
Well, sure, we all could.
In this case, for Green Hope High School in Cary, North Carolina, it's a double-sized, life-size falcon, which is 70 inches tall and has an 80-inch wingspan.
Oh, I saw that. I thought he was making that for South Carolina or something, which means I completely misunderstood the type of bird. Carry on.
Can we go to the Bass Pro Museum?
Oh, we gotta go to Missouri?
Yeah, never mind.
Let's just go to the Pyramid in Memphis. We're still doing a live show at the Pyramid in Memphis, assuming, big assumption, that we all live through this.
No, but I only travel to SEC states now, so can't do it.
Oh, my God.
Not
it's
to be
a big-time bear!
Baron Branson. They'd hand me a banjo.
You look at the stats, and it's not even like, oh, Arkansas, the offense woke up for Arkansas. It's like they had 275 yards. They went 5 of 14 on third down. Like, but Mississippi State turned the ball over four times and had two failed fourth down conversions. And it's just, I love Arkansas so much.
I really, yeah. Like, they're in the position now where I will love them unconditionally for a year, even if they don't win a game, because they won a game. They did. They only had 275 total yards.
They had a touchdown drive to open the second half. And then they, like, basically didn't get they got, like, two first downs the rest of the game. And they still won.
That final drive, by the way. Leading 21-14 with 2 minutes, two and a half minutes left.
Yeah.
I saw every Arkansas fan openly wishing for death in that last 2 minutes because they ran on first down. They passed, trying to get a little something going. Didn't do anything. No gain. Then they ran. Then they did get a first down. And then they started racking up penalties and losses until... they had to face 3rd and 36 at midfield. 3rd and 36. That's kind of when I knew they were going to win, because I was like, oh, it's 3rd and 36. You can't try anything. You're going to punt. Like, that's going to happen. And yeah. And then they actually somehow managed to win. And shouts out to Sam Pittman in every single way. But I adore that if you check, they filmed him because, I guess, anticipating a kind of, I don't know, who's the best locker room, post-locker? Like, Paul Rhodes is legendary for the I am so proud of you guys. But Paul Rhodes was, of course, fired by Iowa State. More on them in a moment. Yeah, maybe like, who's the best locker room speech guy now?
I don't know.
Dino's up there.
Yeah, Dino Babers. Okay, we'll go with Dino, right?
Yeah.
Dino, they were expecting, I think, some sort of extremely awesome, very, like, amped post-game speech. And instead, Sam Pittman, being the big old bubba that he is, was like, well, you know, y'all eat your orange slices and clean up. I'm real proud of all of you. You've done everything we've asked of you, and I really, like, it felt like the really, like, the most earnest, awesome, but still very high school coach speech ever. Like, Sam Pittman got up there and was like, that's great. Y'all go hug your mamas. Take 24 hours to celebrate. Y'all remember hydrate. Everybody needs it. Like,
everybody take a lean pocket on the way out.
He does. He's like, we got some Chick-fil-A out there for you.
they handed out the game ball, I think, and even that they was did. Even that was not low energy. I would never say that to people who just like played a football game, but it was joyous, but it was not the hollering that we have come to associate with our Arkansas brethren.
Maybe that's because at this point, an Arkansas win should feel like the end of an action movie where you're like, are we all safe? Like, is the bad guy dead? Are we okay? Like, we're not really going to celebrate. We're all in kind of a state of shock.
It's a bit like the end of The Nice Guys, where you're like, well, hey, at least you're drinking again. Nobody got hurt.
I could die.
Actually, a lot of people got hurt. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
As 1,000 other people have found out, congratulations. The Michael Leach life cycle of a team, Mississippi State, you are firmly in it. Enjoy
they
the ups,
through
enjoy
the entire
downs.
Spectrum of the experience in like 2 weeks. Like Auburn, Mississippi State is doing what Auburn is doing and speeding up the narrative to compress along with the actual schedule, like the narrative arc of the season. Like we have got, oh, Mike Leach's offense is really to install. Hey, y'all should probably change some things. Why start now?
Hey,
the end.
Hey, guess who they're playing in 2 weeks?
Who's that?
Texas A&M. Speaking of, hey, first of all, happy birthday to Texas A&M. We are recording this on October 4th, which is the day in 1876 that classes began at what at that point was known as the Agricultural and Mechanical College of Texas. Fun fact. Two fun facts. First of all, the first 2 years that the college was in existence, it taught no classes in agriculture. And local farmers eventually complained that the college was abusing its mission, and the president and the faculty were eventually replaced and given a mandate to actually teach agriculture and engineering.
Do you want to face a bunch of pissed off farmers that you aren't teaching enough agriculture? Like literally rolling up with their mules and pitching? Yeah. What were you teaching?
They were teaching classical studies, languages, literature, and applied mathematics.
Motherfuckers. This will not stand.
But after that, you could still attain a degree in scientific agriculture or civil and mining engineering.
Y'all need to teach meats or I'm going to cut someone's throat.
The other fun fact, approached to be the president, the first president of Texas A&M, Jefferson Davis, former president of the Confederacy, starting a long A&M tradition of attempting at least to overpay SEC coaches. So,
I wish you told me that earlier because I bet we could have made a hell of a segue out of this.
I was going to say, Jimbo.
About lost causes.
Yeah, Jimbo and Jefferson Davis were both denied jobs in Alabama after a while. So that happened.
Wow. There it is.
Yeah. There's like 14 listeners who are like, yeah, UAB! I remember that shit! Yeah! They wanted Jimbo to be the coach, but UAB was too good. All 14 of you, I love you. Bring it in.
No, UAB wasn't too good. The Alabama Board of Trustees was afraid that they would get too good.
Well, you know who else wasn't too good this weekend?
Who's that?
That'd be Texas A&M.
Hey, but you know who's still rich?
Yeah, Jimbo.
So rich.
I was going to say Jimbo's esthetician, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jimbo's esthetician is not earning those paychecks.
God, man, Jimbo, speaking of Jimbo's hair, those kids were on islands.
I hope at this point Jimbo just leans into the rich thing and just like starts getting like foot massages or whatever in the middle of the game. Just like, yeah, I'm getting my mani. Y'all get out there.
Get one of those like vibrating leather chairs.
Get a little sidecar one for Miss Rev. The press conference. I just hope Jimbo shows up with a wad of cash, and every time anyone asks a question, he's like, "How about $400 not to answer that? How about I ask you to leave? I know you broke.
Say anything.
I know you broke, journalist.
Peeling off hundreds and throwing them.
And there's Jimbo Fisher starting the new tradition of the pregame acupuncture. There he is.
Oh, it's so good. So relaxed. My chi is so balanced. Broke people's cheese never balanced. Ah. You know, another way to say, you know what? You can't spell cheap with cheat because it's with an I. That's it. You think it was close, but you're poor, so you don't know that. Ah. This game, I tell you my favorite point in this game. My favorite point, by the way, if you score 21 points in a quarter, that's usually when you know you win. Alabama dropped 21 in the second. Just like, yeah, sure, keep up. I dare you. Absolutely dare you. Please respect Alabama for this.
Alabama's doing that thing where they lap you and then they turn around, like still running, but they start running backwards for a few steps, like just a wave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi. They did that with, and it is a joyous moment. And, yeah, because eventually, by the way, if you're listening to this and you go, oh, man, what are they talking about? I thought A&M would put it up. I just haven't had time to watch my games. Spoiler, Alabama won 52-24. Remember when Nick Saban lost like maybe one or two games by scores of like 42-40, and they were like, oh, I don't know, man.
Nick remembers
Nick
that
does.
Just fine.
And Nick was like, oh, look, we're short on points. I will never run out of them again. Never. I will recruit 18,000 wide receivers who all run the same deadly accurate routes at a 4-2 pace.
This game is what it would have been like. This game is what it would have been like to actually watch a medieval knight fight a dragon, where at first you're like, ah, the dragon's confused and the armor is sparkly. And then after about 10 minutes, you're like, ah, the dragon has eaten the knight whole.
Yeah, let me take that from you. I know the exact point where the knight managed to get up on their feet despite having lost an arm, and you thought, well, no, maybe he's going to make it out
maybe
of this
God
game
Maybe God is with him today.
Kellen Mond is kind of a knight-sounding name.
Like Kellen Mond.
That is some Galahad shit.
Yeah.
Sir Kellen of Mond. Yeah, he wandered into the cave, lost an arm, was about to get back up, but Sir Kellen of Mond, after a 12-play, this is probably actually when you know you should have lost, when it took you 12 plays to go 40 yards and get a field goal, and you thought, well, we cut the score to, like, theoretically a three-score game, right? We cut it to a three. We're chopping away.
That's a real H3 drive. We're like, it ain't efficient, but it looks good. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, no. We're getting back in it. When all of a sudden, by the way, when early in the second quarter, like 5 minutes in, or early in the second half, and in A&M's case, about 3 minutes into the second half, you're already pulling out the card that tells you, okay, you're only down 4 scores.
Here's
if
how
you
do it.
This many 2-point conversion. Yeah, that's like the point in the point in your own personal billing cycle where you go, well, if I cut off the cable right now, I can still pay water. But then I could cut the cable back on and I won't owe it for another 2 months. Okay, good. This is working. This was just the point where A&M thought they were back into it. And then Alabama said, cool, I'm just 4 plays later going to drop an 87-yard TD on your head to Jalen Waddle.
I did come up with a great Halloween costume from this game. I'm going as Mac Jones's stat line because it was scary as shit.
Oh, that's nice. This is a Tua stat line. Like facsimile.
I looked up and not only is Mac Jones still at Alabama, he's going 20 for 27.
For 435
yards.
And not even like what? And that not even with the benefit like the running game was fine for Alabama, but it's not like, oh, that was because they were killing them on the ground. It was just like,
we're not exaggerating. That's a Tua line.
Also, it should be noted, they scored 52 points. And normally when you see 52 points in today's game, you think, ah, well, they ran something like 70 plays. But 80,
or
maybe
the SEC has restarted basketball.
Yeah, they really had it going, right? No, Alabama only went 5 for 10 from third down. You go, oh, 10 third down opportunities. They didn't face many third downs. That's correct.
Yeah, they
really
were on first.
There's
they only they ran 56 plays.
So
56 plays.
So A&M dropped from 13th to 21st in the rankings in the AP Top 25. They are right behind now Michigan, who again has not played but jumped three
spots. Do we
want to
play
week.
Our game from last week?
Where Michigan
where,
is?
Where you're dropping the teams and then you get to Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah, did Michigan hold steady? How did they do this weekend?
Michigan jumped from 23 to 20. Yeah. So A&M dropped to 21. They are one spot ahead, and I swear, like, I don't know why this keeps happening, except that it's funny as fuck. They're one spot ahead at Texas, who dropped from 9 to 22. And both of them are ahead of Louisiana,
a team that hasn't lost.
God.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Oregon rose two slots this week.
Yes.
Two.
Yeah.
Oregon, by doing nothing.
Penn State did nothing and dropped a spot. Ohio State stayed where it is. This is a fun game because it's so stupid. Wisconsin jumped three spots. So dumb.
I'm going to buy a 00 Oregon jersey to celebrate their record at the start of the season.
All right. Listen, y'all. This is the best one. I'm sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. One more poll thing. Then we can actually move on to more actual football.
No, this is great.
So... How many teams have gotten two games off? Not many. How many teams have gotten three?
A lot of teams have gotten two, but not that many have gotten three. Yeah.
Not that many have gotten three. Okay. I know of one team that's gotten four games off. Four.
Yeah.
Four games.
I know the 4-0 team you're talking about, too.
That'd be them ponies.
Mm-hmm.
SMU. They've actually won four games. Pulled it off somehow in the year 2020. And where did they sit in the polls, having won four games and stacking up the most wins of any team in this poll, by the way? Any team in this poll. No other team has four wins. And where do they sit? SMU is at 18. They're at 18. Penn State hasn't played a game, and they're at 9.
Yeah, BYU is just a little bit ahead of SMU at 15.
North Carolina's at 8.
BYU, the three games BYU has won, they've won by scores of 55-3, 48-7, and 45-14. They have trailed for 0 minutes this season. Their opponents are 9 of 39. On third down, BYU has only committed 8 penalties so far this year, and they are barely ahead of 0-0 Wisconsin. It is amazing to watch.
I'm gonna say it for you, BYU fans, because you can't. You've been beating ass. You're gonna go, hey, you shouldn't use the word ass, but inside, I know you're going, yeah, man.
So here's the thing: I'm gonna ask you both, and you might know this now that you've looked at the poll, but maybe you don't. Who is the only undefeated team left in the Big 12?
Is it Kansas State?
No. Kansas State lost to Arkansas State to open the year.
Is it Oklahoma State?
Correct.
Oh, God.
Yep. Oklahoma State undefeated.
This is the Oklahoma Ass Whipping News Network.
That's what OAN stands for, buddy.
The good news is
yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. We definitely, like many better outlets than ours, we also won't get credentialed by Oklahoma State football. So,
speak for yourself. I'm going in there like Q forward, Q heavy. Be like, read the first letter of every single one of these emails that I'm sending you, and there's a code in there. Mike Gundy's going to be like, he gets it.
He gets it. He sees it. He sees the code in the matrix.
He's there. Yeah, that's the only this makes total sense that in the like near apocalyptic year of 2020, Oklahoma State would finally get their due. They're still going to lose to Oklahoma, though. Like, that's happening.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, anything can happen in bed, lame. They could lose by a little.
Speaking of teams from Oklahoma losing. Yeah.
What else happened?
Okay, so...
Can I tell you, I almost forgot about this in the mayhem.
Yeah, this is the part... This is the part of the podcast where I'm like, man, we really talked about the SEC a lot. But on the other hand, I don't know that like fans of certain Big 12 teams have a problem with that necessarily.
Do you guys, this is one of the few Simpsons references that I can actually summon. You know that Simpsons episode where Homer takes like a winemaking class and his brain, it turns out he runs out of RAM in his brain and he forgets how to drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was this game to me once Kentucky and Ole Miss happened. It just kind of slid like a cat knocking a coffee cup off a table. It just kind of slid this game entirely out of my sight line.
It doesn't help that Oklahoma did this right after losing the week before to Kansas State, where you're sort of like, wait, am I like experiencing lost time? Is this deja vu? What is happening? And granted, they're very different games and teams, but whew.
Maybe it's so, not news because it's not surprising anymore.
Who did they lose to?
Iowa State.
Yeah, they lost to Iowa State.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because actually, since Lincoln Riley took over, I believe he's 2-4 against Chris Kleeman and Matt Campbell combined. In other words, he loses to them all the time. Yeah, he loses to them all the time and beats up on the rest of the conference because those are the two teams that do all the things that Oklahoma can't do, like tackle. No one on this defense can tackle.
You're just saying that because they didn't do that during the game.
Yeah, think about how small the game is compared to the rest of the week.
I'm saying.
Maybe they're going into grocery stores and tackling people left and right.
That would be more than they did against Iowa State, because at one point there's this clip on a long TD score by Iowa State where there are four guys in the box behind the linemen, so it's like four linemen and then four, and they're all bunched up. You know that whole thing in youth soccer where you know they keep screaming at kids
bunch
like
ball.
Bunch ball. It looked like bunch ball. Against an Iowa State team that was showing pass.
Like a
had
swarm.
No intention of... Yeah, no, four of them there. And they didn't blitz. They just kind of stood there like, when's the cha-cha slide going to start? Let's go. You know, left foot, let's stomp. Right foot, let's stomp. Like, they were waiting for that. They didn't
drop
do anything.
In your conference.
Yeah, that's how you go 0-2. You play the two teams that give you the hardest time because they actually block
one
and tackle.
This time. Two lost this time.
Still beat Gundy. Clap, 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 clap. How, by the way, that would be the best Bedlam result is for Oklahoma to completely shit the bed this year, get to Bedlam, and beat Oklahoma State to give them their only loss in the year and knock them out because everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, you couldn't even beat Oklahoma.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's ugly. Although I will shout out this. Mike Rose, Iowa State Cyclones. Iowa State Cyclones always have some guy who is Max Bro. Like they have like at least one dude who is Max Bro.
Yeah, and this is a lost Danny McBride protagonist.
Yeah, you need to go see Mike Rose, who had 11 tackles in this game. He is a linebacker, and he looks like... If I told you Thor's youngest son, not the older one, who made really good grades and was super responsible.
No, the one who's been delivering pizzas and trying to work some stuff out.
Yeah, Mike Rose, linebacker for the Iowa State Cyclones. Had a great game.
I would describe this young man's hair as resplendent.
He's from Ohio, in case that surprises you.
It happens to people.
It does.
He looks like the guy who is told, hey, man, I think you're the only one who could pull that sword out of that stone and become king. And he's like, ah, sounds like a lot.
I got
a thing.
Yeah. Hey, I don't need swords. Who can carry a sword? It's bulky. That's why you carry a gun.
Or a bike chain. Or...
I brought a bike chain to a sword fight.
I saw this really cool documentary called Road Rash the other day. It's awesome.
Who needs swords when you got these pythons,
what's
bro?
What's it about?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about studying to be a vet.
I just think it's weird that that
no, I
Oklahoma's...
just want to drink at the VFW hall. What are you talking about?
Who asked for permission to drink at the VFW? That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
This is also set by way of saying that how many defenses didn't improve when Mike Stoops left?
That's the thing is, like, it seemed at points last year with Alex Grinch that they had, like, they were making progress.
Mm.
It does not feel that way right now.
I think the problem might be that they can't get the big fat dudes that you need to have a good defense. They just don't. They're not. To everyone in Texas is keeping those, or they're getting recruited away. And Oklahoma, this is my fat dude deficiency theory, which is based on Bud Elliott's actually more complex theory about how to recruit big fat dudes. But you don't have those big fat ballers on the line. And Oklahoma hasn't gotten those in like the last 20 years. And now they get even less than them before because they are such a treasured quantity that everybody pulls them out of Texas now. But yeah, see Bud Elliott's thesis for that on big fat dudes and where to get them. Oklahoma's
hey,
lost it.
Speaking of Stoops's, do y'all know where Mike is now?
I have no idea.
I do. He's an analyst at Alabama. You know what that means he's doing during games? Possibly.
Hmm.
Sitting up in the booth and banging his knees on one of those tiny little desks every time he jumps up in a rage fit. My very favorite form of Mike Stoops.
Wow, Mike Stoops played for the Falcons. I didn't know that.
Oh, what?
Yeah. That explains a lot.
About the Falcons, yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. He
about Mike more.
He signed as a free agent, but then he ruptured his gallbladder in a car accident and missed minicamp and got cut.
I am sorry for the car accident. I feel like he's probably a happier person for not having to have been a Falcon.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
He's falconed his life in many other ways. Let's put it that way.
It's got to be great to be a Falcon, though, because, I don't know, life's pretty good. You're on the field.
You can reach us at 38 God.
You're making money. You know, you're in a town where, like, your money goes pretty far. Like, I don't know, sure. Things are great. Now, that's only true if I don't actually think about how it's impacting anyone watching it. Like,
your money also doesn't go that far compared to other NFL cities.
It depends on the city. Like, yeah, Jacksonville's got us there. Then again, you got to live in Jacksonville.
You don't have to. There's boats.
What? You could commute from where? St. Simons?
There's boats. That's all I'm saying. You can live in the ocean.
This is my favorite.
You could live in an underwater lab.
You who accuses me of having an idiot
Man,
shortcut for everything in life.
We're going to get a shit ton of Georgia calls.
You just came up with...
angry that you implied that there weren't boats here, sir.
There's boats. That's the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard. We can say that to anything. It's so dumb, it's brilliant. You're like, I don't know, we can solve that problem. There's boats.
God, this
Oklahoma's
is exactly what
defense.
Planning a getaway with you would be like a heist escape.
Tell
this
me, Gardner.
Tell me,
Gardner.
This is the most me idea you've ever had.
Tell me, Gardner Minshew doesn't live in Sea Lab. Tell me.
There's boats.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait. Was it wise to put Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville as we are approaching Sea Lab Horizon?
Yeah, it was. It was
no,
necessary.
You're right.
In fact,
you're right. Okay.
He's leading the way.
Also, as tourism slogans go, Jacksonville, there's boats, is pretty fucking good.
Among the truthful things that you could say about Jacksonville that fit on a billboard, that's
there's, yeah, that's right. I could probably get 15% of the vote in the mayoral election of Jacksonville just running on there's boats.
There's boats. I would like
there's
to.
Boats.
Please tell us your plan for overhauling the city's educational system. Two words. There's boats.
Yeah, man. Semester at sea is there's boats.
Semester at sea. Did you know
Semester at sea is just a fancier way of saying there's boats.
Did you know of anyone who did semester at sea?
No.
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I can't name the friend on air, but you know him. It was his little sister.
How did it go for her?
Man, she wrote a lot of poems.
Sea shanties. Odes to the whales.
Yeah.
Can I remind you of who started that business? That's correct. The Huebner family. You might recognize that name if you're a Florida fan.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah. Do you might recognize that name if you're a Florida fan? Because they built the athletic complex at Florida. Major donors to the program.
Do you know who runs it now?
Who?
The academic sponsor of Semester at Sea? Colorado State.
Yes.
Colorado State. There's boats.
The high seas.
I'm afraid you've actually unlocked a key to the universe with this.
Yeah.
That we can attach there's boats to anything.
Try it. Try it going forward.
Shorter than the shortest Bible verse.
That's true.
So speaking of a voyage to nowhere, I need help because I did watch a lot of football on Saturday. However, my game, Florida, South Carolina, which was great. It's awesome. We won. South Carolina didn't. South
Who
Carolina
is we?
Took.
Oh, okay.
South Carolina took 400.
Spencer got snaps.
God, the SEC network got in your bloodstream real quick, buddy.
I'm so poisoned.
He's gonna have to talk with the Georgia fan about how good Georgia looked. He has to do that, and he can't cuss.
No, I do, and I can't cuss. I just have to be like, I don't know, y'all boys brought them hammers.
Whatever we may put you through on this show, and whatever you may put us through, ultimately we're gonna come out it ahead because Ryan and I don't have to go on television tomorrow night with three people who are younger and better looking than we are.
Wow, damn.
I mean, younger's definite. Better looking. I don't know.
No.
I'm sorry,
no,
what?
I'm pretty sure.
I think you would have had a better chance of lying about your
than
age,
last
actually.
Week for some reason?
Yeah.
My attractiveness doesn't come across on television. It's more of an in-person thing.
Please
an
welcome
aroma.
Special guest that lady who got her face ripped off by a chimp.
There's personal magnetism. It just means the iron filings stick to you when you walk around.
I'm the woolly man.
Look at you're an ambulatory woolly willy.
Literally attractive.
So
I don't know what happened in Texas TCU because I was watching another game and haven't caught up to it yet.
I can tell you.
Am I to understand that TCU won?
So, TCU won. Texas plays, I would say, a minimum of four games a year that I will call expunged DUI games, where they really should have lost, but at the last minute, someone and who, like, basically the football equivalent of the judge your dad plays golf with, like, comes in and technically that loss never happened. And if you ask me about it in this work interview, I can say, no, I didn't lose that game. But in this case, the judge, like, dad was mean to that judge, and this is a legit DUI.
And oh, Texas, that means we saw. Everybody saw.
Because, do you know anything about this game? Like, do you know at all?
No, I know this. I know that there were 17 penalties in the first half. That's literally all I know about anything in this game. I also know that having watched TCU recently, I have no idea how they did anything.
This is heavily recency bias bullshit, but ultimately, like, Texas had the ball first and goal on the TCU one, down four, and fumbled and lost it. Like, Texas was in position to take the lead with very little time left, and they just, like, fucked up at the worst time possible. it's a boring answer, but like, because both of these teams like sort of were, they sort of like mirrored each other, and you can even see it if you go through the drive chart where it's like they all punt back to back and then they all score back to back and they like turn the ball over, but like it's this weird like matching that's going on, and Texas just like fucked up worse than last. But also you're Texas and you're not supposed to do that against a TCU team that like hasn't looked that good this year, like hasn't looked great this year. Didn't seem like they would should, you know, be able to beat you, but they did. So
that sounds depressing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I have to talk about something that I really enjoy. So I don't know. Should I go ahead and hit this last point? Because I think it's important.
Yeah.
I want to close on a happy note. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did Central Florida lose?
God.
Yes. Yes, yeah, they did.